Representative Mike Weisgrom is with us today, member of the Commerce and Energy Committees, previously been chair of that committee in South Dakota and one of the state's energy leaders. Representative Weisgrom, great to have you on What's On Your Mind. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
South Dakota is a busy place right now. I know you have the 100th legislative session underway. You guys cram 40 days of business in every year. Give us a little sense of the pace and the tone of this session.
Well, it has started ceremonial with speeches from our governor, as well as Chief Justice Jensen and one of the tribal leaders, to give us a review of the state of affairs from their perspective. And second week, we started hearing bills and in committee and getting down to work. I would say this week will be very, I don't know, I say furious, but it'll definitely be full because the workload is definitely in front of us and challenging us.
Talk a little bit about your priorities for this session. What are you shepherding? What do you want to see happen?
Well, of course, the biggest thing that we do is produce a balanced budget, and with our budget in less good shape than the previous years that I've been here, you know, we'll have to be very careful in where we spend money and what will be the most important things for the state to do. It seems like property taxes are still on the forefront of people's minds. I'd really like to get something done in that regard, and there's some reasonable proposals out there, so I'm somewhat optimistic about that. In general, I would say constituents always have a sense of what they want done as well. So I'll follow some of the leads that I've been hearing from them and see what we can get done for those people as well.
Explain why the budget picture is not as robust or rosy as it has been in previous years in South Dakota.
Well, seemingly, the funds that have been washed through with all the COVID monies that were favored to states seems to have taken its run through the system, and we just now are kind of back to reality. My personal feeling is that our ag folks had some good years. They purchased some equipment to make their operations better. And now with ag economy not quite as robust, not as much incentive out there as far as additional monies in the system, we're just not seeing the amount of purchases in that large scale type of investment. And we're not seeing the tax revenue from it. In my county, in my city, it's a small city, Fort Pierre. Our sales tax numbers are slightly up, but we're not representative of having implement dealers that would be reflective of business activity. So to me, I think the ag economy has kind of come into reality, and those folks aren't making big purchases.
I spent some time in South Dakota in the radio business in Huron, and have always been a neighbor growing up in Minnesota and spending the better part of the last couple of decades here in North Dakota. One of the things I've always appreciated about South Dakota, in fact, I think you were nation leading in this regard, is the business-friendly environment, you know, and really attracting business and being very aggressive in that. I'm curious because as I watch some of the debate over technology and the innovation possibilities connecting agriculture and energy with the CO2 solutions that have the potential of increasing the price of corn and taking care of some of those concerns you have on the economic front with agriculture are so controversial, are so to the point where, you know, there's talk of moratoriums, there's talk about changing the landscape of the state laws after, you know, $1 billion of investment, as an example, have gone into the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline. What's happening there, Mike?
Well, we just have a lot of folks that have been elected to our legislature that just are vehemently opposed to that project. And there's enough of that thought that I suspect that there will be some changes to our eminent domain laws that will not allow the transfer of carbon to you know have that authority. Yeah, it baffles me too, honestly. I get property rights and whatnot, but in the big picture, you want to be open for business, you take advantage of technology and the prevailing laws and the momentum that the federal government has put forward in decarbonization. You know, we tend to, many people here really disliked the Biden administration and the New Green Deal, and they associated this project with it. Well, okay, I get that. But, you know, those policies aren't made in South Dakota. So adapting to the prevailing policies and making things better for the price of corn and soybeans, I think this project would really help South Dakota. I am disappointed if that legislation moves forward and becomes law, because I don't like the direction it shows for South Dakota.
What specifically do you anticipate being, you know, potentially put into law related to eminent domain? Where are they at with that, and what would it do?
Well, it would just not allow carbon, and they call it carbon oxide, to have that. Any project would not have eminent domain authority.
So literally you're singling out a type of pipeline, despite the fact how many tens of thousands of miles of pipeline are under Fort Pierre and every other community in South Dakota because of disdain for that particular project.
Well, that's correct. To me, it's short-sighted. I respect everyone's opinion here, and that's how you remain optimistic and you get through your day and you try to get other things done as well. But yeah, it's not something that is very pleasing to me, because again, South Dakota needs to be open for business, and we're not sending a very good signal with that.
Yeah, and in addition to the fact that if you ask any of the ethanol producers, which are essentially corn farmers, right, if they're going to have any kind of future, they need the technology. And I heard, you know, you've got 80% of landowners across the project that have agreed to it. So it's a small number. I hear you. And by the way, it's not just the pipeline. I saw something recently about a moratorium on data centers in one of your counties. What's going on there?
Well, it's the same attitude, honestly, and it baffles me. You know, we really need to distinguish between data centers and cryptocurrency centers yes, they drag lots of power, you know, from the system and whatnot. Data centers, to me, again, would be an opportunity for small cities, well, any city in South Dakota, really, to get additional investment in their counties, bring employment, bring tax revenues with. I don't know, it's a protectionist attitude. Again, I don't share it. I somewhat understand it. I have to respect their opinion, but I just don't share it.
Anything else you want to tell us about the session, or what you expect to come? What pluses and minuses you see down the road?
Well, lastly, and I need to meet a constituent here in 5 minutes, so I need to run, but the school voucher thing, I don't know where North Dakota is at on that, but I've heard loud and clear from the majority of my constituents, and it's how I feel personally, that I don't want to put public monies towards that kind of initiative. So that's a big deal. There's a lot of conversation about it. I'm just in a camp that public money needs to go to bolster public education.
Same debate happening in North Dakota, and I heard Governor Noem depart her final speech of State of the State, obviously in the opposite side of the one, so that will be a debate to stay on top of. Really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. God bless you.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.